Proudly presented by Paul Everett's RV Country. This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and today's conversation with Ray Ritchie of Clovis, California. If you live in that area, maybe he built your house. That's the business he was in after the war. But first, he had to survive the war, and that was not easy. He told us about how he was hurt on Omaha Beach on D-Day and how being evacuated from that beach may be what saved his life. He mentioned some other injuries that took place later, including your right hand. How did that happen?
I fell through a plate glass window, and they cut that right across there. And so I went to the medics, and they sewed it up. And they said if it had been another eighth of an inch, it would have got the main artery, and I would have probably bled to death.
And how'd you go through a plate glass window? Were you just being clumsy or what?
No, it was. We were going through the houses to get in the Germans. You go upstairs, and when you come down, there's a landing there, and then you go down the other way. Uh-huh. And a big plate glass window there. And so we were in a hurry, and I went through that plate glass window.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So an eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of close calls you've shared already. There was also the time a mortar blast threw you into a truck, and you're also still dealing with the effects of the brutal weather you encountered during the Battle of the Bulge.
My feet just froze, and I couldn't walk. And they just turned purple all the way up to here, and my hands froze. I still don't have much use of my hands or my feet.
So your legs were purple to the knee?
Yeah.
And you couldn't feel your fingers? And you've dealt with the effects of this for 70 years?
Yeah, and I had two kids. And when I come home from work, they'd say, Daddy, pull your boots off so we can peel your legs off. So they'd peel my legs. All the old dead hide on them.
Right.
And that was every night, you know.
For years.
Yeah, they were 3 and 4. I've always been kind of crippled, you know. They just don't want to move. This one here is just about lost all of its feelings.
Your left leg.
Yeah.
There are guys who've gotten purple hearts simply for frozen feet during the Battle of the Bulge. And here you've got frostbite up to your knees and in your fingers, not to mention being wounded on D-Day in the plate glass window, and you still don't have your purple heart. Does that matter to you at all? Does it bother you?
It don't matter to me at all because it's not worth anything. What do you do with it? My son's got 3 hanging up in there.
Yeah.
And they don't make him a living or anything. He don't show anybody.
Yeah.
He got the Bronze Star.
Yes, your son Richard is a decorated U.S. Marine Corps veteran from the Vietnam War. And before we're done, I want to talk to you about a special mission the two of you went on together in more recent history. But as far as the Battle of the Bulge and that awful winter in a European forest, what else can you tell me about that?
The trees are so thick that the sun never gets down to the ground. And we got snowed in. We would walk all day, and we weren't prepared for that, you know. So we would walk all day, and our feet would get wet, and then at night they would freeze. And so my feet and my hands froze. Me and my two buddies were out in the forest shooting at Germans, and they were shooting at us. And we were hiding behind trees, and we snuck up on a camp, and we captured 37 Germans. And we were marching them down to be interrogated. And one of the guys says, Ray, how many shells do you have? I said, I've got 4 or 5. How many do you have? I got 5 or 6. I think the 3 of us had 15 shells. And so we talking to each other, well, if these suckers tries to attack us, let's line them up 4 at a time and shoot 4 at a time. Save ammunition. And so one of the guys could speak English. And he says, you guys don't have to worry. We're not going to try to attack you. And I said, well, how come you just speak good English? And he says, well, I worked on Boulder Dam. And I said, well, what are you doing over here fighting for Hitler? And he said, I thought Hitler was going to rule the world, and I wanted to be on the winning side.
Wow.
So he gave me a $20 bill.
Did that raise your eyebrows a little bit?
Yeah. I'd never seen a $20 wheel.
Much less from a guy wearing a German uniform speaking perfect English that you just captured.
So the field artillery needed a machine gunner.
Uh-huh.
So I went with that.
50 caliber.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
At that time, I only had a tripod and a machine gun. I didn't have the four machine guns like we had before.
The quad 50s.
The planes were shot down, most of them. Hitler ran out of gas.
Yep.
And he didn't have any gas to get the planes up in the air.
Right.
So they didn't need the four caliber and the turret anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I just had a single barrel 50 caliber.
Uh-huh.
Every fifth one was a tracer.
Right.
After that, we kept moving from town to town, and the liaison plane, you know what that is? So there was two lieutenants, the first lieutenant and the second lieutenant in that liaison plane.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times, one of them would be sick or on another assignment, and they'd call me to go, and I'd use the binoculars, and we'd spot the Germans and then go get them the next day. So then we were moving, and we parked in a where there wasn't any trees. And then there was trees all around us, but...
out in a clearing?
Yeah, out in a clearing, yeah. And so these five planes flew over, and I had my machine gun set up. I shot at them, and I could see where I was missing them because they were going away from me, and they're hard to hit when they're going away from you. So this one goofy guy, he thought he'd come back and get me. He knew where I was because he could see my tracers. And he thought he'd come back and get me. And so he come back and he was shooting at me and he was breaking the limbs off the tree of about 2 feet above my head. And so, but he couldn't get low enough to get me. So I got him and he flew into the trees and crashed and he was dead. He had two bullet holes in him. And so the battery commander was from Colorado and he was a duck hunter. And he wanted the uniform because they have batteries right here and the whole uniform is wired. We got him the uniform and then I got his sword and another guy got his boots. So we left him with no clothes.
You had taken a shot at him. He's flying away from you. He knows you can't get him and he thinks I can come back and get that machine gun.
There was five planes went over.
Yeah.
But he was the one that come back to get me. And he knew where I was.
He's firing away at you, and it's hitting the tree right above your head.
Yeah, right.
Only about a foot above your head?
Oh, about 2 feet above my head, shooting the limbs off the trees.
Right.
But he couldn't get low enough because he had to get up over the trees. The trees were 100 feet high.
Right. So he didn't have the angle on you.
Yeah.
But you had the angle on him.
Yeah.
You shoot him down. How close to you did he crash?
Probably 50 feet.
50 feet from
you. Yeah, he went into the trees.
Uh-huh.
And then the plane fell down.
And you went over there to investigate, and you found that you had shot him.
Yeah, I have the sword about that long.
You still have it?
Uh-huh. I give it to my daughter. She's got it. And then when we had prison camp,
right,
one of the guys could speak a little English, and he told me, you bring me a piece of wood and a picture, and I'll carve it out for you. So I took him a picture off of a Look magazine of Betty Grable leaning up against a champagne glass in her bathing suit.
Uh-huh.
And this piece of wood was the end of an apple box. It says 1945, 30 number 10 cans on the back side.
Right.
And my son has that picture now. He carved it out about a quarter of an inch deep.
And it looks just like her?
Yeah.
I wonder if Betty Grable ever knew that there were wood carvings of her out there in Germany.
The only thing is that I bought my son a BB gun when he was about, and he shot her once right here.
You mean he was trying to shoot the swimsuit strap off? Is that what he was doing? What a character.
My son went, he got 16, and he said, if you don't sign for me to go in the Marines, I'll lie about my age and get in anyway. So I signed for him, and he took basic training at Camp Pendleton, and then he went to Vietnam and got wounded three times. But he come home, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets shrapnel out of his legs and his face. But he's all right. He worked every day.
Well, I think we know where he picked up that work ethic, don't we? And sorry, I know we're bouncing around. But so you told the story about shooting down that German plane. And I guess the war was just about over by then, right?
That was just about the end of for me. I had 85 points and I could come home. Mm-hmm. But they wanted me to stay and be the sergeant over the... We had 4,000 German prisoners in a prison camp. And they wanted me to be the sergeant of the guard over that. And so I volunteered for 6 more months. And we'd go out there every morning and there'd be 2 or 3 guys froze to death. Or they didn't have any mess kits. They eat out of tin cans and get dysentery and die. And so they didn't have any dog tags. And Germany was all tore up. And what are you going to do with them?
Right.
So we'd just take them out and... Bulldozer dug a big trench. We just put them in that and cover them over. And because what else could we do?
Right.
We couldn't leave them laying around. After that 6 months, why, I told them I wanted to come home. I was ready. War was over for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on a ship to New York.
Right.
And then in New York, they put us in an old C-47 that had wooden benches, no seats. And so we had to ride in that thing till we got to San Francisco. They trucked us to an old warehouse, open air warehouse, up about 5 feet high, the floor. And we stayed there for 7 or 8 days and lived, eat out of our mess kits and slept on a cot. And after that, they trucked us to Camp Beale, and that's where we got discharged. And they said, do you want to stay 2 or 3 more days and tell us about your wound? Because I forgot to tell you that I was too close to a mortar that went off and it blew me into a truck. They took me to the tent hospital and they said, I heard him say, well, he won't walk anymore. So the next day I got up and took off and went back to my outfit.
You had to show them, huh?
Yeah. So we got to Camp Beale, and I said, I don't want to stay here, and I just want to go home. So they give me my discharge, and I come home.
So in other words, they're saying, if you stick around, we'll take inventory of everything that happened to you, and if you're deserving of the Purple Heart, we'll process that. And you said, I don't care about the Purple Heart, and I want to get home.
What good do you have? A Purple Heart don't feed you or make you any money. So I just come home and went to work the next day, and I've worked ever since.
Uh-huh. Because your friends were there and said, we've got a job for you. You're going to be a carpenter.
And my friends were there, and 3 months later, I was their foreman.
And 70 years later, you still don't have a Purple Heart, even though you were wounded multiple times.
I never turned in for anything.
Well, we need to turn toward our final commercial break, but we're going to hear about an experience Mr. Ritchie had that any surviving World War II veteran can enjoy for free, a trip to the National World War II Memorial through the Honor Flight Network. Mr. Ritchie was part of the inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight out of Fresno, California in 2013. You can find photos from that at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And we'll hear what it meant to him when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Remember when the bank gave you free checking and savings accounts, even making money for you when you kept your dollars there? Paul Leffler here to say, I've recaptured those days, and you can too with EECU. It's not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that just keeps growing and growing. The newest branch is in Tulare, and nearly 250,000 EECU members represent 10 different California counties. As little as $250 in a savings account earns you dividends. And access is so easy. 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And I haven't even told you what I love most about EECU, the credit union's support of causes up and down our area, like Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 500 World War II veterans have gotten to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. for free because of the leadership and financial support of EECU. Ready to join the team yet? Call 1-800-538-3328. Paul Everett's RV Country has 8 locations in 5 western states, including Fresno and Indio, California, Bullhead City, Arizona, Laughlin, Nevada, Coburg, Oregon, right off the I-5, and 3 locations in Washington, Fife, Milton, and Mount Vernon. Over 55 years of experience serving the needs of RVers across the country and proud supporters of Hometown Heroes. Find a location near you by visiting rvcountry.com.